He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. I got diplomatic privileges in the kingdom of God. I got diplomatic privileges and diplomatic immunity.
This is Jared G. Martin, and welcome to the Light of the World broadcast. It was the Apostle Paul who said, "We are fellow workers alongside God." And it was he who also said that we are God's ambassadors. There's no better time than now to allow God to work through your life to reach others for the cause of Christ. Come and go with us as we continue to walk in the light of God's Word.
As children of God, we are expected to grow, but we're also expected to go. We're expected to grow, but we're expected also to go and to engage with God in whatever call he has in our lives. We've said several times that when we talked about being called in the scripture, that call is unto salvation. God called us all unto salvation, but then God also has an assignment for each of us. That assignment is consistent with the gifts and abilities and also the place where he places us. Let me say it again, because you just might think, because I'm on this job, God don't have nothing for me to do. He might have called you for that job. And the fact that it's a terrible place, God may be saying, you're the right person for this place. Instead of you getting terrible with the rest of them, let the Lord use you, even if you can't speak Vietnamese. God places us in places where he can use us. It's not always comfortable for us, but it's always enriching for us if we are obedient to the call of God in our lives. And we don't have to be afraid or apprehensive about whatever God is calling us to do. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be apprehensive. We don't have to think that God is going to ruin our lives if we yield ourselves to him. He's not going to ruin our lives. He's going to enrich our lives. Part of our maturity is growing in the ability to hear, the ability to recognize, and the ability to see God and his activity around us. He's always working, and he's always doing something around us. And as we grow, we can have more of a sensitivity to be able to hear and to be able to see. I'm not saying that you need to hear this audible voice or you can't hear God. What I'm saying is you got to be able to sense. Let me put it this way. God knows how to engage with you in a way that you know is him. For one person, it's one way, and another person is another way, but you know that the Lord is talking to you, and I'm using that word talking, that may not be an audible talking, but ministering to you, engaging with you in some way. So I don't want to use talking, because somebody's going to be like I used to be and think, I didn't hear nothing, maybe he ain't talking to me, but he is. While God wants you to grow in maturity, he also wants you to be engaged in reaching others and bringing them into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the number one assignment for the people of God, is reaching others. Come on, just say that and see if it even come off your lips. Say, reaching others. He wants us to reach others. I was talking to a business person today, and she was just asking me, what are we going to do in our culture? Things are so bad. Things have gone so far off track. What are we going to do? And I thought, the Lord wants us to reach others. We may not reach them all, but I can reach one at a time. Amen. That's what God's plan and purpose is. So if we're going to be accountable to the call of God in our lives, we'll have to exercise the faith that he has given us. This is a work of faith. Somebody say faith. there are so many believers who struggle with the thought that God wants to use them in a significant and even in a supernatural way. We struggle with that. I don't know if God can use me. And we even struggle with the fact that we're not perfectly righteous and perfectly holy. Therefore, maybe God don't want to use us because he knows that we got some issues. But he knew you had some issues when he saved you. He knew you still have some issues, but here's how God works. I need you to get that fixed, but let's get busy, right? Because he knows that nobody's going to do anything if they feel like they got everything right. So if you're waiting to get everything right before you do anything for God, you'll never do anything. Because as soon as you've been right, something's going to come up and throw you off track, and you're going to say something you shouldn't have said, did something you shouldn't have done, and then you're going to go and sit in the corner and say, see that? The devil going to help have a field day with you. See that? I told you you couldn't do nothing for God. So God is saying, yeah, come on, you get that fixed, but let's get busy. He uses ordinary people. Look at the people he used in Scripture. They had issues. Peter was the main one. Peter had issues. Peter denied him. I don't even know the man. Jesus Christ rose up, and after the resurrection, they were on the beach, and Peter had told the other disciples, let's go fishing. In other words, he's saying, we're not doing anything the Lord says. It wasn't a day out fishing. He said, let's go back to the business we were in before he came. Let's go back to our own profession. This didn't work out. We didn't expect him to be crucified, and we didn't expect him to die on a cross. We thought he was going to put his kingdom together. We thought we were going to be in. We thought we were going to be ruling with him. It's not working, so let's go back to what I know how to do. But Jesus came on there and said, Peter, do you love me? Well, feed my sheep. He had issues, but the Lord said, let's get to work. So we have to exercise that faith. We need to take the faith that we had to begin with, and all of us have faith. If you are saved, you have faith. Don't have to go stand in a prayer line to get some more. You just need to exercise what you have. You get more muscles when you exercise. Nobody can lay hands on you and you get more muscles. You can wear one of those little electronically charged belts all you want to. You ain't gonna have no hair. That you're going to have to exercise. The muscles are already in there. You just have to exercise. I mean, that's the way it is with faith. You already have faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. If you're going to come to God, you got to believe that he exists, and you have to believe that he rewards those that earnestly or diligently seek him. You got to have enough faith. It takes faith to believe in Jesus Christ. It takes faith to believe that he was raised up from the dead for your salvation and receive him as Lord and invite him into your life. It takes faith, and that faith is enough for you to get going. Amen. All of you have faith. The devil will test you and challenge you and tell you, you don't have enough faith. That's why you're not doing that. No, it's not the lack of faith that's causing you not to do that. It's the lack of exercising and stepping out. We love God and know that God loves us. We must, with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our soul, trust him to lead us daily. Faith is trust. You can say you have faith, but if you start crying early in the morning because you don't know what's going to happen during the day, you ain't trusting. Faith is trust. God, I'm trusting you. It don't look good, but I'm trusting you. And when you really want to know when you've got that faith connection, not only are you just saying it with your words and saying it with your mouth, you start giving God some praise. You'll start praising him for working it out. Lord, I can't see how it's going to happen, but I'm praising you already. Hallelujah. Because if you don't help me, I ain't going to make it. That's faith. If you don't help me, I ain't going to make it. I ask people sometimes, how many of you want to see a miracle from God? And I'm saying, I don't want to see no miracle, because that means I'm in big trouble. Miracles come when you're in an impossible situation. And when the doctor says you're going to die and there's no help and no hope, you need a miracle. I ain't looking for one. But if I need one, I know where to go. Glory to God. And some of us need a miracle. And we just need to learn how to walk by faith. What God said he'll do, that's what he'll do. We walk by faith. That don't mean we're not going to be challenged in our faith. We're not going to be tested in our faith. It doesn't mean that. It just means that you got to walk it out. Did I hear from God? Amen. And I need to walk that out. Faith is not having a plan B. When you got a plan B, you're not operating in faith. Because you're saying, if that don't work, I'm going to go this way. So we're going to have the faith to trust God for our direction. We can say all we want to, and all of your ways acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct your path. You can say that, but you're going to have to trust him to direct your path when you don't know which way to go. It doesn't mean you stay put. It means you start out in a direction that seemed like it might be right and say, okay, Lord, if this ain't right, you're going to have to help me. You trust him for your provision. You trust him to work out everything for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God, I expect you to work this out. And so, Lord, I'm expecting you to take this life that's got all kind of issues and exposure and use this life to the fullest extent of how you can use it. I don't want to limit your ability to use this life. Paul said that when he was saved, God not only reconciled him to God, but committed to him and all believers a divine ministry and purpose, and that is the ministry of reconciliation. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's what Paul said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. If you want a ministry, you don't know what your ministry is, underline that in your Bible. That's your ministry right there. Come on, say, thank you, Lord, for my ministry. You got a ministry. That's the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation means to bring things back together in order like it ought to be. And you're bringing people to the Lord. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We have the ministry of reconciliation and we have the message of reconciliation. Verse 20 said, we are therefore, since we have that ministry and message, Christ's ambassadors. Come on, you ought to sit up straight. Know who you are. I'm an ambassador. Somebody can call you anything they want to call you. Say, no, you don't know who you're talking to. I'm an ambassador. I got diplomatic privileges. I'm a diplomat. In the kingdom of God, I got diplomatic privileges and diplomatic immunity. Hallelujah. I'm an ambassador. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's our ministry. You don't have to pray and ask the Lord whether you're going to be a prophet or a prophetess or whatever. Start doing the ministry he called you to, and that's the ministry of reconciliation. You can be the greatest prophet, apostle, or whatever, and I've been to a lot of meetings that were revivals, and nobody got saved. They didn't even make an altar call. They were so carried away with their own message and ministry, they didn't even make an altar call and appeal for somebody to come to the Lord in a revival. They took up the offering. The offering was longer than the message. So that's someone who didn't really understand that you have the ministry of reconciliation. If we're not bringing people to Christ, we're not doing the basics. God reconciled us to himself, and now he desires to use us to reconcile others to him. That is the labor God had in mind when he said the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. He's the Lord of the harvest, and he is directing our actions and activity by the Holy Spirit work in our lives. When the Holy Spirit's coming and working in our lives, he's directing us so that we can facilitate what God wants us to do in our primary ministry. That's reconciliation, bringing people to the Lord. being a light, being an ambassador, showing people how it works. How does it work? If you want to know how it works and you want to know how well things go in the kingdom, just look at me. I got joy. A lot of people don't want to come to the Lord because they do look at the believer. So you want me to do what now? I want you to come to the Lord just like me. They're mean, they're sad, they're like the Sadducees. They were sad, you see. When somebody's always full of joy and hope and peace and goodness and gentleness, just the fruit of the Spirit being produced in their lives, it doesn't require much to get people to reconcile. God, you are representing him well as an ambassador of Christ. We are his representatives, his ambassadors. And that is why the Lord says, if you know how an ambassador works, he never represents himself. He's always represent his country. When he speaks, he's not speaking for himself. He speaks for his country. That's why if you go and you slap an ambassador, it's not an assault. It's an international incident. You slap the other country. You could start a war. Why? You slapped our representative. That's why the Lord says, you'd rather have a millstone tied around your neck and throw it into the sea than to slap one of my ambassadors. That's why he said, you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. Just seek first the kingdom and all of my righteousness and all these things to be added to you. The ambassadors of the country never have to worry about where they're going to live. They go to another country, they got a big ambassador mansion. They don't have to worry about their food, their clothes, what they're going to have. Everything is provided. That's what the Lord said. I'll provide everything to you so you can do my bidding and my work. And then God is going to hold us accountable for the work that he assigned us. He's going to hold us accountable for it. Jesus mentioned that time of accountability to his disciples in Matthew chapter 25. And this will be a serious time before the Lord. And God will reward everyone according to his faithful obedience to the call and the purpose that he established in us. Matthew 25:23, the master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you want to hear when you stand before the Lord. You want to hear, "Well done." That's not how you like your steaks. I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful what?" Servant means you were doing some serving. "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." This is what Paul said about his assignment in 1 Corinthians 5:10. "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that is within me." Paul says, "I know I got education, I know I've got connections, but that's not what got me to where I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, you are who you are and what you are, and it's not you, but it's the grace of God that's working in you. That grace is also the power of God for you to get some things done that you can't get done on your own." Paul said, "His grace is sufficient for me." His grace is sufficient. That power is sufficient. You don't have to worry about doing the work. You just have to worry about your availability. God does the work. He's just looking for somebody to be a conduit for him to show himself strong through. In Colossians 3:23, he said, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart." Okay, let me just repeat that one more time. Whatever you do, work at it, how? With all your heart. Now, you may not do everything. You might do one or two things, but if you're going to do it with all your heart. Put everything into it. Give it all to God and just say, "Lord, this is yours." You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to compare what you're doing to what someone else is doing. Just be sure that whatever you're doing, you're doing with all your heart. "As working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." So we have to be accountable for what we're doing and all of our work and all of our serving. Our accountability to this call is not just in the judgment we have to stand before the Lord. It's about what we're doing here and what we are doing now. Let me ask you a question. Just think about it to yourself. What am I doing for the Lord even now? What am I doing for the Lord? Are we faithful over a little? If we are, he's going to give us more. That's the way the Lord works. You be faithful over a few things, I'll give you more. If you're faithful in another man's vineyard, when you get yours, he'll send you some faithful workers. Those of you who are thinking about the ministry that God may be calling you to, you want to be faithful when you're working in someone else's vineyard. Because when you get to going and you open shop, you open your ministry, whatever, you're going to be looking for some faithful workers. You'd be worse than me up here. Well, the people don't want to do nothing. You didn't want to do nothing. I expected God to send faithful people to the light of the world. You know why? Because I was faithful wherever I was at. I was working and I was serving. I was doing whatever I could to help the ministries where I was. I was supportive of them. I was supportive not only in my work, but I was supportive in my talking. I was supportive with my mouth. I didn't join in with those who were not supportive. I said, this is our church. We got to make it work. And they didn't gossip around me. I told them I was going to go tell it. That's how you stop gossip. And when they start talking to you, say, as soon as you finish, I'm going to go tell that person what you just told me. The one you're talking about, I'm going to call them and tell them what you just said. And they'll never come back to you. Folks said, well, I'm going to tell you something. It's just between you, me, and the doorpost. I said, no, no, no. If it's too hot for you to hold, it's too hot for me to hold. If you can't hold it, I can't hold it. People want to tell you something like you want you to hold it, but they can't hold it. Don't tell nobody. Well, you don't tell nobody. Then nobody will know. To live without a true sense of accountability is to lose a major motivation in serving the Lord. If you don't think that God is looking, just know that God sees, God notices, God understands what we're doing and how we're doing, and then God rewards us for our faithfulness. He encourages us as we are faithful and working. If you want to know what it means to be accountable to the call of God, if you really want to know what it means in your life, simply put, it is obedience. What is the Lord putting on my plate? Am I obedient to do it? A lot of times, God will just speak something in your heart and have you to volunteer or to do something. A lot of times, you're going to be asked to do something by the leaders of the church.
This is Jerry G. Martin. I certainly hope that you've enjoyed today's broadcast. I've been bringing you a series of messages to encourage you and every believer to become engaged in the work of the ministry that God has called you to. God called no one just to sit back and wait until you can pass away and go to heaven. He saved us so that we can be engaged in reaching a lost world with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you are a vital part of that ministry. I hope that this word has encouraged you to get up from where you are and allow God to help you to be the ambassador that he called you to be. I also want to give you an opportunity to come and join with us in our worship. You can meet us online every Sunday at 10 o'clock at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. We also have in-person services. We have our medical team screening those that arrive, and we have social distancing, and we ask everyone to wear their mask. If you're looking for a place where you can get connected, join us at the Light of the World. We meet each Sunday at 16161 Old Humble Road. For more information, or if you have a prayer request, call us at 281-964-1393. That's 281-964-1393. Now, if you need Bibles, books, or study material, call us at the Beacon Bookstore on our campus, 281-441-2885. Now for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, May the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.